This is Flick on Flicks with Jacob Clark Blickenstaff. Brought to you by NSTA, the National Science Teaching Association. Today's episode, Aurora and Elements in Frozen 2.
Elsa, the past is not what it seems. You must find the truth. Go north, across the enchanted lands, and into the unknown. But be careful. We have always feared Elsa's powers were too much for this world. We must hope. They are enough.
With two kids under the age of 10 in my house, you can bet that Frozen 2's release date has been encircled on the calendar for some time. I have to say, I like the sequel better than the original. The stars from the first reprise their roles. Kristen Bell as Anna, Idina Menzel as Elsa, Josh Gad as Olaf, and Jonathan Groff as Kristoff. We return to Arendelle 6 years after the events of Frozen to find Elsa is restless. She hears a voice on the wind calling her to travel north and find a land her father told stories about when Elsa and Anna were children. Of course, Elsa cannot go on this adventure alone. Anna won't be left behind, and Kristoff, Sven, and Olaf provide transportation and some comic relief. With a little difficulty, the group finds 4 elemental standing stones marking the border of an enchanted forest. Each stone bears a symbol for one of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. The cooperation of the elemental spirits enchants the forest. I won't reveal any big spoilers here, but Elsa learns from each of the 4 elementals how better to control her powers, and that leads her to quite a transformation. All in all, the roles for both Elsa and Anna are more powerful this time around, and that's great for all the kids who will be planning costumes for Halloween 2020. Elementary students will certainly be excited about the movie, but I'm betting some middle and high school students will check it out, since 2013's fourth graders are now in high school. Physical science teachers can use scenes to talk about the Earth's aurora, atomic theory, and the phases of water. Environmental science teachers could address the water cycle and humans' impact on the environment. We know that Arendelle is a northern realm, based on the weather and the geography. It seems to be modeled on Norway or Sweden. The northern lights, or aurora borealis, are a common phenomenon in regions 10 to 20 degrees from the North Pole. The same phenomenon in the southern hemisphere is known as the aurora australis, or southern lights. The glow of the aurora is caused by charged particles from the sun interacting with the Earth's magnetic field, though the details of the mechanism are still being explored by scientists. The aurora can be seen far from the poles at times when the sun's geomagnetic activity is high. Some of the most spectacular images of aurora that I have seen have been taken by astronauts on the International Space Station. Elsa encounters the spirits of air, fire, water, and earth in the enchanted forest. These 4 elements have been called the classical elements, and in Western European history were precursors to our modern understanding of the chemical elements of the periodic table. Now it's easy to consider the classical elements a bit silly, but the idea that just a few basic building blocks could be combined in various ways to make a wide range of materials is a powerful one. In Aristotle's classical model, the relative amount of each element in an object could explain its properties. Wood contains more air and water than metal does, so wood floats. Scientific work in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries led to the periodic table with about 100 elements, each with distinct chemical properties. We now know that elements like carbon and hydrogen are made up of smaller components, protons, neutrons, and electrons. Though the pieces are smaller, we still understand that combining just a few ingredients can lead to a huge diversity of materials. In Frozen 2, we learn that Elsa and Anna's father was present at a meeting between the people of Arendelle and the people of the forest, the Northuldra. The Arendellians had built a dam, claiming it would give the Northuldra a regular water supply. We learn that, in fact, the dam upset the ecosystem of the Northuldra and was harming their environment. Elsa and Anna must decide how to restore the environment of the Northuldra and recognize that their solution could cause problems for Arendelle. I think that this relatively simple story could help elementary students to see how human projects that seem purely good say building a dam to prevent flooding and create a steady water supply, can have unintended consequences. It is powerful to see that doing the right thing for the environment can have negative impacts on humans in the short term, even if the long-term benefits are clear. As in the first film, some of the best lines belong to Olaf, though here he has become an Arendellian encyclopedia, spouting facts without context. He also goes for the kind of gross humor that will appeal to lots of kids, informing us that turtles breathe through their butts, which is true for some turtles, that wombats poop in squares, that's definitely true. He also shares that water has memory, not true, and that it is passed through several creatures before you drink it, likely true. This last one, along with all the phases of water we see in the movie, could be a fun way to talk about the water cycle with elementary students, and also call attention to taking care of the fresh water we have. There is almost always someone upstream who has used the water already, and someone downstream who will use it in the future. It's a good idea to keep pollution out of the water when you're using it, so that it will be clean for others to use. Frozen 2 will give teachers opportunities to talk about physical and environmental science topics at the elementary and middle school levels. Please note that Frozen 2 is rated PG for action and peril and some thematic elements.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website, www.nsta.org, and search for Blick on Flicks.